Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Hear the word of God. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that as we come and we open up the word and these things were written for our instruction and written for our hope, Father in heaven, we do pray that by the Spirit of God you would cause us to abound in all hope in you, O Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our series on the theological virtues, looking at faith, hope, and love. Last week we looked at the nature and necessity of faith. This morning we want to look at helps for a holy faith. Recall when we're talking about the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, which the Apostle Paul gives to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. We remember that these virtues order us to God. They lift our eyes to the one who has made us. Some virtues that we have help us order the things below. They help us order the world that we live in as we interact with various things through day to day. But these specifically lift us up to the God who is maker of heaven and earth. They order us to Him. We put our faith in God, our hope in God, and our love towards God. Not only are all these ordered towards God, but remember these are infused by God, granted by God, given by His grace within our soul. It's not just that there's a hope that exists out there and a faith that exists out there and a love, an object to love. It's that for the things we are to believe, God has given us faith. For the things we are to hope in, God has given us hope. For that which we are to love, God grants us His grace of love. And all these are revealed by God. That these are the three theological virtues, that they're ordered to our great God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one that we don't merely know that He exists, but we know who He is and we hope to see Him face to face. These are supernaturally given by God. We are talking about hope, and we have to remember as we talk about hope prior to moving to love, we have to remember the connection between faith and hope. By faith, we receive the knowledge of the mysteries of the faith as we receive all that God has revealed on the authority of God alone. We assent to the truthfulness of the Christian religion as a whole, that it's true and that it's good. But not just that it's true and good, that it's good for me as we come to God through Jesus Christ, as the woman reached out and held on to Him and touched Him so that she may be healed. We come to Jesus in faith, reaching out to grab to Him. And the source of the healing is not in our grasp or in our hand. It's in the object of our faith. By faith, we take hold of the promises that God has revealed in Holy Scripture. And with hope, with great anticipation, we long for and wait the goods that God has promised to us. So faith takes the promise of God. Hope looks at the thing that God has promised and waits for it, knowing that it is to come. So last week we had a definition of hope that we got from Romans chapter 8. And we said that hope is the anticipation of the desired good. The anticipation of the desired good. We take hold of the promise that God has made, that this good is ours in Christ Jesus, and then we anticipate receiving this good. We talked about the necessity of hope. It's necessary for man kind of naturally to have hope in life. A man who has no hope in anything in life is either a proud man or a despairing man. It's a very sad state to be in. We don't like to see those who are hopeless. But when we talk about the theological virtue of hope, it's necessary for us to attain our final end of communion with God. Man does not have faith, but no hope and no love. Faith and hope and love all come together. Hope is necessary. It's especially necessary for fallen man who knows that he can't work his way to God, who knows that he stands under God's wrath and judgment apart from Jesus Christ. And hope takes for its object God, but not just God. God as the good, the infinite good. God as the one who is goodness itself, the satisfaction of our very soul, our eternal bliss and happiness is all in Him, for He is the great end of all mankind. And the subject of hope is the believer, the one who has been granted this grace by God. But we noted last week there's a difference between the hope that we have in this world and the hope that God offers us by His grace. There's many things that we hope for. We hope for health. We hope for job promotion. We hope for spouse. We hope for wedding days to come. We hope for children to follow. We hope to be able to see our children's children. These things don't always happen. Right? We see this even throughout the Bible. The apostles speaking of instances where they hope to see you face to face, or they hope to be with you in person. And sometimes those hopes aren't always realized. Is the hope that we have like those hopes? And the answer is no. Our hope is certain. The theological virtue of hope is a certain hope. We may have to grow in our understanding of the certainty of our hope, but it is certain. And we said it is certain because we know certainly that the object of our hope is good. Sometimes we hope for things that we're not always sure are good. Is this the best choice? I want this and I long for this and I prayed for it, but now that it's come to me and I have to make a decision, is it really the good that I'm after? We don't ask that question with God. We know He is goodness itself. And it's not just that God is good. God has made a promise, and that promise holds good because it rests upon who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done. And the thing promised is union with God. So our hope is certain and fixed. Which leads us to develop a new definition of hope as we seek to work forward this morning and continue studying it. And here's our new definition of hope, building on our previous definition, which we started with last week, which is hope is the anticipation of the desired good. But as we consider it as this theological virtue, we want to say more. Hope anticipates with certainty the blessed presence of God and help to get there based upon the promises of God in Christ Jesus. Hope anticipates with certainty the blessed presence of God and help to get there based upon the promises of God in Christ Jesus. This new definition still retains that idea of anticipation. When we hope for something future. We hope for something that we do not yet possess. But it fills out the good with greater clarity, right? We can hope for a good, and that could be any good in this life. It could be the good of health, the good of family, the good of finances, etc. But the good that we're hoping for with this theological virtue is the blessed presence of God. That we would reach that heavenly city. That we would know and love and enjoy forever the one for whom we were made. And it holds out the fact that hope, because it has an anticipation, is such a wonderful virtue for sojourning saints. It's not just that we hope to get there one day, it's that God actually helps us to get there by conforming us into the image of His beloved Son and assuring us of His goodness and the promises to us as we travel in this world. And this definition, as opposed to the previous definition, grounds this hope in Jesus Christ. Why is it we have this hope? It's because of who Jesus Christ is and what He has done that we have hope. With that said, I want to now move to the text that we have for us this morning in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And what we want to do is we want to divide this text into two parts, draw a doctrine from the text, and discern its use in our life. The first part of the text is the fount of hope. The second part of the text is the subject of hope. So first, the fount of hope. Now, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and in believing. God is identified for us here by the Apostle Paul as the God of hope. Not just God, but he's going to attach something specific to it. This is the God of hope. Matthew Henry, commenting on this text, says this: it is good in prayer to fasten upon those names, titles, and attributes of God which are most suitable to the errand we come upon and will best serve to encourage our faith concerning it. Do you need hope? Do you lack hope? Open up your prayer by addressing God as the God of hope. Even if you're despairing, God, you are my hope. I'm struggling to see it now, but this is who you are. He is called the God of hope. And there's good reason for it. Because any reason to hope in enjoying the presence and blessed presence of God must come from God. And all our hope in getting there must ultimately resolve in God as the one who is not only the source of our hope, but the end of our hope. Our hope comes from God and ultimately resounds back in God as we wait to be with God as that great good that we anticipate by His grace, for He has accomplished it for us in Christ Jesus. The God of hope in Himself is called the God of hope, identified as such. And the reason for it is He is the source and fount of all hope that the believer has. And then we see the works that God performs in us. Now may the God of hope fill. So helpful to know that as we come, these are the kinds of things we want God to do for us. We can take this prayer, put it on our own lips, and make it our own, asking that God would fill us up. Well, what kinds of things do we want God to fill us up with? Paul's going to work backwards here, from joy to peace to faith. Peace follows from faith, and joy follows from peace. But he begins with the end and works his way back to the beginning. Joy, specifically, is that which we have in God. That we know God, that He is our God, that we can claim Him for our God, and that He is the God who is goodness itself, and that we most surely will be with Him. That brings us, as believers, great joy. And this joy follows not from some mere wishful or fanciful thinking. It follows because we actually have peace within ourselves. Joy is in God, and peace is something that we know within our conscience. Peace refers to that which has been settled and calm and ordered rightly. Well, why is it that our conscience has been settled and calm and ordered rightly? Think back to the woman who reached out and grabbed Jesus, and what happened? She felt within herself that everything, what? Dried up. Her disease had been resolved by Jesus Christ. When we reach out to Christ in faith, just as she felt herself dry up internally, so we feel peace within our conscience. Why? Well, because as Paul says elsewhere in Romans chapter 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And because we have peace, we have joy. But that then just brings us back now to what's our peace from? Faith. Why? Because our faith is in the one who is the great peacemaker, Jesus Christ, the one who brings peace between God and man, the one who has fully satisfied divine justice, paying the debt that we owed in our sin, and the one who supplies His righteousness for us, such that His work is our own. His work is the merit by which we stand before God. And we can say, I can stand before God as one who has been declared just and righteous. There is faith, and with faith comes peace, and with peace comes joy. This then leads us to look at the subject of hope, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The prayer of the Apostle Paul is that you would be filled with joy and peace in believing. Why? Unto the end that you would abound in hope, that you would be overflowing in hope. Abounding in hope, this is not some small work. Like you may in this life, you may have a few drops of hope. If you look really hard, you may be able to find it. No, the picture here is overflowing with hope. This is the prayer that the Apostle Paul has for the saints of God. Again, it's the prayer that we can take on our lips, that our hope may not be small, but our hope may be great as God fills us with joy and peace in believing. Abounding in hope, that great anticipation that we would enjoy the blessed presence of God because of the promises that have been made to us in Christ Jesus. How is it that we abound in hope? This virtue that is within us, that it may overflow within our very souls. But this is by the power of the Holy Spirit. No created good is going to enable our souls to abound in hope the way that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Why? Because no created good is as worth it. All of our hopes in this life are going to be finite. We need a hope in something infinite. We need a hope in God. The only way that we can abound in this hope in God is not from any created finite thing, but the power of the Holy Spirit alone. No man can cause this hope to abound in you. No creature could. No man and no angel. It must be God alone. Why? Because these virtues come from God, infused by God, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to believe the promises pertaining to the good. Why is it we have faith? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit within our life. Has He not given us faith as sight? The Holy Spirit enables us to perceive by the eye of faith all the goods that God has promised to us. And the Holy Spirit then points you to the ground of your hope, which is Christ Jesus. He brings Christ to you. He shows Him that this is the ground of the hope that you have. And then He assures you of the fact that these goods that God has promised are actually yours. And you will enjoy them. You will be resurrected, given a new body, and enjoy the blessed presence of God for all eternity. The Holy Spirit assures us of the ground of our hope, and that the ground of our hope rightly belongs to us. The Spirit brings Christ to us, making us look like Christ, and shows us, do you see where He is? Because you've been joined to Him by faith, you most surely will be there with Him. That's our text. Our doctrine from the text is this: God supplies increases of hope to sojourning saints. God supplies increases of hope to sojourning saints. Let us look at the timing of the hope that God supplies and the increase of hope that God supplies. Hope is so fitting for those who are sojourning on their way to the heavenly city. All the virtues are for sojourning. Faith is for sojourning, and hope is for sojourning, and love is for sojourning. But faith and hope go away as faith becomes sight, and the good that we anticipated is now ours, and we don't have to anticipate it anymore. In the same way that someone who's married doesn't anticipate being married to their spouse, they just are. So by faith, we arrive, and we see, and we enjoy the good. All of the virtues are for sojourning. Love is the only one that continues after our sojourning. But hope is so peculiarly suited for sojourning. It's that which enables us to stay sojourning. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says these words: therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The hope that has been given to us is a grace of God, but there is more to receive. And it is coming with Jesus Christ. And so as we sojourn, we're to have sober minds. We're to be alert. We're to lift the eyes of faith that we have and lock them on Jesus Christ, and saying there is good that is coming to be. More goods. All the spiritual blessings are mine, and yet they're going to be realized further in time. And so we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, and that enables us to be steady. Because through life, there's all kinds of reasons to despair. There is no reason, but we often turn to ourselves in pride and abandon hope, thinking that we somehow will be able to make our stand before God. No, we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and the one upon whom we fix our hope. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 writes these words: since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation, the expectation that there is more to come. We looked at that last week, the redemption of our bodies, right? Our soul will not undergo death, but our bodies still will. And we wait for those to be joined back together with us. We await many good blessings that are still ours in the future. We await them as a hope of salvation. As believers, we want to be those who understand that our hope is something which we boast in. And it's not we boast because we have hope, like look at my hope, it is something that I boast in. Our boast is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul writes, "If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." We boast, and we boast not in ourselves. We boast in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We boast in what Christ has purchased for us. We boast in the fact that we will enjoy the blessed presence of God, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. This is, hope is a suitable virtue for our sojourning, because sojourning has an end, and hope awaits that end. It awaits that finish line. Sojourning has struggles. You know this. I know this. The difficulties of life. And hope keeps us on the path as we struggle through the various trials of life. We fix our hope on Jesus Christ. As we sojourn, we don't merely have trials and tribulations that we struggle with. We also have temptations, lesser goods that are always seeking to pull us off the path. And hope allows us to not be distracted by these lesser goods as we look to the great good, which is the eternal blessed presence of God. That's the timing of hope. It's for sojourning. But let us look at the increase of hope, right? We want to abound in hope. Well, how is it we abound in hope? Does God become a greater object of hope? And the answer is no. Right? Our hope is not that God will be a better thing for us to hope in. That is not our hope. Our hope is not in some development or change or increase in God. Rather, it is in us. That the hope that we have, as Peter described in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, a living hope, grounded in the fact that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, so we know that we have life now and we will have resurrection life and enjoy life with God for all eternity, but also that our hope would be even more lively as we seek to abound in hope by the grace of God. Our hope is not that God will be a greater object of hope. Our hope is that God will become to us a greater object of hope, that we would have a better understanding of who He is. And as we grow in our understanding of God, we would hope in Him even more. As we endure through our tribulations and our temptations, God becomes sweeter and more precious to us. Not because He is more precious or He is more sweeter, it's because of a realization that we have undergone. It's our hope moving away from the material things in this world, which we do depend on. Remember many, many months ago now in 3 John chapter 2, the external prosperity and bodily health that the Apostle John prays for Gaius, right? That he would prosper as his soul prospers. We depend upon material things, but our hope doesn't rest in these material things. There's a move from the material to the immaterial, a move away from stuff to the one who is the most pure spirit. It's a hope that moves away from the temporal things of this world and moves to the eternal as we shift our hope from those changing things in life to the one who is unchanging. It's a hope that moves from lesser goods that God has given us in this life to the fount of goodness itself. And all of this comes to us as the subject, as Paul has already noted for us, as being from God. No natural fount can increase our hope. It must be a supernatural fount. It must be God. All of the increase of our hope comes from the object of our hope, who is also the fount of our hope. The grace of hope comes from God and ends in God. And he does this by his free grace, granting us faith, and with that, providing peace within our soul and providing joy to us. All of this by the work of the Spirit of God within us. And the end of all of this, God grants us hope that we may have it in Him. It all resounds and resolves back into God. So that's our doctrine. I want to draw some uses from this doctrine. The first is to discern whether God is your hope. Is God that which you hope in? And how is it that you hope in God? Can you know that you have this hope? Can you boast in the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's like acknowledging Jesus is the Savior of the world, but is He your Savior? Yes, God is the God of hope. There is no other object of hope for eternal life. But is He your hope? Do you hope in Him? How can you know whether you hope in God? Well, the answer is very simple. It's given to us right here in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. In believing. And that in believing, what comes with that? Peace and joy and abounding hope as we understand who this God is. Discern whether God is your hope. And how is it that you can know? Through faith in Jesus Christ and all that He has accomplished for those who believe in Him. Our second use is to practice hope. Put hope into practice. This is about helps for a holy hope. So I have 10 helps as you seek to practice hope in your life that I trust will benefit your soul. They're very simple. They're very basic. Hope, number one, is read your Bible. Read your Bible. The Apostle Paul, in that same passage, or in that same chapter of Romans chapter 15, in verse 4, says these words, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Do you want to hope? You have to know who God is. You have to know how you can get to God. You have to know what it means that God is the object of your hope. Well, how is it you discern all these things? Take up and read your Bible. Doing so makes you aware of the things you should hope in. It also makes you aware of the things you shouldn't hope in. Sometimes our hopes are misguided. Sometimes our understanding of what the Christian life is misguided. We become Christians and our lives start to go very well, and then all of a sudden we begin to experience persecution and pain and suffering. Think, whoa, what's this? Well, God is kind to teach us to expect these things. As we read our Bible, it makes us aware of the things that we should hope in, and it makes us aware of the things that we also ought not to hope in. And it also provides examples of those who hope and were not ashamed of their hope, which is a great encouragement that God gives us from the Holy Scriptures. As we read the testimonies of those who are willing to die and lose their life, in fact, some did die and lose their lives, and say, these individuals hoped in God. They had no shame in their hope. Likewise, I should hope in God, and I should not be ashamed. But it doesn't just provide us examples of those who hoped and were not ashamed. Scripture also provides us examples of those who were hopeless and did have shame. And that's a reminder for us to say, is my hope really in God? As I look at someone like Judas, who was hopeless and despaired and hung himself, yes, that is the end for all those who are outside of Christ Jesus. Judas just had a clearer picture of it. Total despair. If one is not in Christ, there is no hope in this world. Finally, Scripture just is a book of hope. It just is a book about hope, which is seen most clearly in Jesus Christ. The Scriptures are all about redemption in Christ Jesus. They're all about His work. They're all about the promises that God makes in Christ Jesus. And as you come to Jesus Christ, knowing that He is your Savior and He has saved you from your sin, there is hope. The Scripture just is a book about hope. So, practice number one, read your Bible. Very basic. Practice number two, which is very intimately connected with reading your Bible, and it's believe all that God has revealed. Faith is intimately connected with hope, so as we talk about hope, we cannot talk about hope without talking about faith. And as we talk about faith, we also can't talk talk about faith without speaking about hope. They're very hard for us to distinguish in our minds. And this is exactly what the author of Hebrews does for us. Now, faith is the assurance of what? Things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. The measure of our hope will always be as strong as the measure of our faith. So the more we know the Scriptures, the more we believe the promises of God, the greater our hope will be, as we have a clearer understanding of the goods that are promised to us in Christ Jesus. When we do not believe in God, or we are ignorant or indifferent, our hope always suffers. The greater understanding we have of God, our standing with God, and what He has done for us in Christ Jesus, is a cause for increase in our hope. Number three, depend upon God for all the goods that He has promised. Depend upon God for all the goods that He has promised. As we sojourn and live in this world, we want to have a greater understanding of all the promises that God has made to us, while knowing that He is the one who most surely will bring them to pass. Listen to Psalm 62, verse 1. My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. Verse 5. My soul waits in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Oh, on God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. God is kind to turn us to the Scriptures and describe Himself as a rock, to describe Himself as a stronghold. So we know that as we are in God, we are protected. As we lean on God, we are steadfast and sure, for God is the unchanging One. And so here we have what is often depicted in our life, awaiting in silence for God alone. As we endure struggling and trials in this life, it is God upon whom we wait. We wait for Him to bring all that He has promised to come to pass. So depend upon God for all the goods He has promised. Let us hope in Him alone. Number four, pray to God. Pray to God. The Lord's Prayer has often been called the rule of hope. By reading and understanding the Lord's Prayer, you not only gain a greater understanding of the Holy Scriptures, but you gain a greater understanding of all the prayers that are given in Holy Scripture. We come to a clearer understanding of what it means to pray, the things that we are to pray for, and how we should pray as we seek to follow the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And prayer is the posture of hope. What is prayer? Prayer is a lifting up of our desires to God by the assistance of the Holy Spirit for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ, believing as we pray. It's lifting up of our desires. When we have a desire, what is it? There's a good that we want to have. That's why we have a desire. When I am hungry, I have a desire for a food that's a good that will complete and perfect me. When I come to the Lord God and I pray, there's a good that I'm desiring. And some goods we know we may not get, so we offer them up loosely to God. But we know many of the things that we pray for as they concern the Lord and our end in union and communion with Him. We know most assuredly that these are granted to us in Christ Jesus. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. Now she who is a widow indeed, think about that, a widow indeed. Well, what's a widow indeed? You have to go back a little bit to understand what he's talking about. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone. Paul helps us understand proper ordered piety here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And it requires that people give a return to those who gave them life. Or give a return to those who gave life to those who gave them life. The widow is to receive care and comfort and protection from her family. But there are some who, due to some of the natural causes of life, or due to persecution of the faith, will be those who have been left completely alone. That's a scary place to be in. Imagine an older woman with no one near her, no one around her. She's susceptible to many dangers. She's susceptible to have many wants that she's not able to satisfy on her own in her old age and in her frailty. Now she who is a widow indeed and has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. This is the sign of hope. Someone who night and day comes to God to pray. You think about the dependence of the widow as she says, there's no one I can look to. I must come to God and entreat Him day and night. Beloved, we're all like the widow. We need to come before God and lift up our prayers to Him, asking Him day and night to meet our needs and to bring us into eternal communion with Him. Fifth, pursue purity. Sometimes our lack of hope in this life is directly connected with our purity and our holiness. Why? Because as we pursue the pleasures of sin, we've decided that it is better for us to leave the goods that God has given to us and to forsake them, that we may enjoy the pleasures and goods of this life. And then our hope starts to rest on sinful desires rather than the things that God has given us. And then there's no surprise when our hope wanes. Rather, we ought to hear what John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. There's that future, forward-looking, anticipatory element to faith and hope. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. All those who have their hope fixed on Jesus Christ seek to purify themselves. Why? Because the hope is to arrive at a state of blamelessness. Isn't that ultimately our desire? That we would be made holy and totally pure? That there will be no more temptations in life? That there will be no sin that remains in us in any way, shape, or form, and that we'll be able to worship God in perfect holiness? That is what we hope in, to arrive in a state of blamelessness. And our hope is to be with the blameless one, the spotless Lamb of God, and to enjoy the God who is holy, holy, holy. For this reason, we put aside all filthiness now. If we're going to claim hope for a holy life, then we ought not to be hoping in the pleasures of sin in this life. Rather, we ought to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the one who brings grace with Him when He comes. Number six, practice patience. Hope requires patience. So let us practice patience. Part of hope, built into the definition, is this anticipation, this expectation of a good that is to come. Listen to Paul's words in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, which is such an odd thing to say. Who says, oh, I have tribulations, and they have just been delightful? They're not on their own, but the tribulations that the believer endures has a particular purpose. And this is what the believer exults in. The believer doesn't just exult in pain for pain's sake. The believer exults because in the pain that they're enduring right now, God is working something within them. We exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, the ability to bear up and endure hard things, and perseverance, proven character. There's a transformation that takes place within our soul by the grace of God, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Patience, perseverance are required for hope. We have to remind ourselves as our body is undergoing affliction. We have to remind ourselves as we think about the sinfulness of our own sin that one day our soul will be completely and totally wiped clean. That one day this ailing body that we have will be made new by the power of God in Christ Jesus. So we have to remind ourselves as we patiently wait in silence upon God, the resurrection is coming. The beatific vision is coming. Judgment Day will work in my favor because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. And everything that God has promised most assuredly will arrive to me. One way that we can seek to help ourselves is by working to develop a natural patience. Patience of the things that pertain to this life. A patience as we're driving, a patience as we're waiting for food, a patience as we're waiting to deal with people that we interact with on a day-to-day basis. Things in the natural can serve us in the spiritual. So as we seek to practice patience in natural things, it helps us understand the fact that sometimes goods in life just are delayed. And that's okay. The greatest goods in life are delayed. The greatest good that we'll get in life comes at the very end, at the resurrection, at the end of all things, when we come and enjoy the blessed presence of God for all eternity. 7, remain fixed. Remain fixed. Hope requires a resolved will. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ as we sojourn in this life, as Peter reminded us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And the author of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The faithfulness of God that we trust in as we wait to receive the good that God has promised. And we ought to do this without wavering. As we read and pray and patiently wait, we know that the Lord does not unnecessarily delay or put off his promises. His timing is always perfect. The scriptures have taught us this. The timing of Christ coming on the earth was in the fullness of time, and the end of all things will come about at the perfect fullness of time. 8, be sober. Peter, again, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 speaks about being sober in our minds. What does it mean to be sober in our minds as it relates to hope? It means to be sober in temptation. Every time we're tempted to sin, some good has been offered to us in a perverted way. And we say, no, because my hope is in Jesus Christ, the blameless one, I have to purify myself and put away the sin. I ought not to engage in this temptation. We also have to be sober in trials. So sometimes goods are held out to us, and we can't be ensnared by those goods. Sometimes trials come upon us, and the pain can be great. And when that happens, we sing songs like we sang this morning, whatever my God ordains is right. In our trials, we must remember that God is making all things new in his time. We wait upon the Lord in silence. There's a third kind of sobriety that we have to talk about, and that's sobriety in good times, when all things are going well, when we're healthy, when there's money in the bank, when our marriage is well, and everything is going well for us. Why? Because it is then that we can get lulled to sleep by all the good things that God has supplied for us, and forget that our hope isn't in this life. It is in the life to come. For this is that for which Christ died. 9, look for Christ's coming. Look for Christ's coming. Again, Peter talked to us about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, 13, fixing our hope on Jesus Christ, who's bringing grace with him. But we also know the words of Paul in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to think about the return of Christ, think about the coming of Christ, knowing that this is something that is future, and knowing that ultimately this is what we're waiting for, This is what those who are dead right now and are absent from their bodies, they're waiting for this moment. Let us join them in waiting. Beloved, by God's grace, we're able to look to the hope of Christ's coming. God supplies grace to keep our head fixed. And as He does so, we want to keep forward looking to the things that God has promised with us. Number 10, anticipate hope's effect. Anticipate hope's effect. Going back to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope does not disappoint. How many times in our life have we received that which we desired and we thought is good? And we got it and we were like, oh, this was not nearly as good as what I thought it was going to be. In fact, I'm kind of disappointed in myself that I even desired this in the first place. We always feel that about sin, but there are other things in life that we feel that about and we think, oh, this didn't quite meet my expectations. Beloved, praise the Lord. This will not be our experience with God. We will not enjoy eternal bliss and think, I'm kind of ashamed that I hoped in this. It didn't match up to all my expectations. Rather, it is greater than anything any eye has seen or any ear has heard or anything that has ever entered into the heart of man. We look to Jesus Christ. He suffered at the hands of men. He endured shame at the hands of men. And yet He was vindicated by God as the righteous sufferer. As Christ endured shame of the cross, beloved, as we endure shame in this life, let us remember we can suffer all the shame in this life for following Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, we're not going to be the ones who are disappointed. We are going to be the ones who know hope's effect, which is pure satisfaction in God. We should ask the Lord for a greater supply of hope. He graciously offers it to sojourners. God loves His children. He does not want our hope to be weak, because the object of our hope is not weak. He does not want our hope to be uncertain, for the grounds of our hope are not uncertain. He does not want our hope to be without peace and joy, for He has granted us a peace that surpasses all understanding and joy in Himself. We receive this greater supply of hope by the Spirit of God. So let us put hope to work by engaging in practices that stir us up to hope in God. May God cause us to abound in hope, that our praise may arise from peace with great joy. Amen. Let us pray.